Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and we're excited that we're going to have a very special guest. And, you know, it's good when God brings you people that are like-minded and just want to get the gospel out in every type of media form there is. You know, we do the broadcasting. We do the television stuff here on IPTV, and you know how my heart on film. You know, I'll be making films one day for God, praise God, but we have someone that's been in the industry for quite a long time, and he is Mike Norris. Say hi to everybody, Mike.
Hello, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here, David.
Amen. And if you're listening to the name Norris, he is son of legendary Chuck Norris, for those that don't know.
That is true.
And I guess you get that a lot, don't you?
Yeah, but it's better than a lot of things people could call me, so I've got no problem with it at all.
Amen, amen. Now, he's here to talk about his video and his movie he made, I Am Gabriel, which is a great, great film. We're going to jump into that, but we want to talk about him, his faith, and how he came to know the Lord, stuff like that. So, Mike, just start where you want and just let us know. Who are you?
Yeah, and it was my grandmother at an early age that led me to the Lord initially as a young child. But, you know, by the grace of God, those values that, you know, she instilled in me as a young man, you know, as I grew older, I kind of strayed from, you know, what I knew was right, what I knew was true in my late teens, my early 20s. And, you know, probably back in my early 20s, I'd met my wife, and it was really crunch time. It was like, how do you want to live your life? Do you want to live your life as a godly man, or do you want to continue on this path? And it was really a time to man up and follow what I knew was true, which is that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And in doing that, it's helped me be a better man, a better husband, a better father, and it's the central piece in everything I do, including the films we make.
Amen. Now, I read in another interview that you did that you had to make a choice of what you wanted to do with your life. When did you wanted to just start following God? And you say it was about when you met your wife. You have a lot of choices out there, so please share on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was kind of raised in L.A., which is no excuse, because there's a lot of great believers out in California. But, you know, it was just, I think, a time of me trying to find out who I was. You know, I knew who I was being Chuck Norris's son. And, but what I was really missing was who's my real father. You know, it was never difficult being the son of Chuck Norris, but what I was missing was having God as my heavenly father, which was by far the most important part. And like I said, you know, it really was, you know, when I met my wife, she was a believer, and I was a believer also. I was just, you know, living kind of outside God's, what I thought was God's grace, even though God never left me. And it was, and like I said, it was just very important that I've seen a lot of dysfunction. I've seen a lot of crazy stuff in my world, and I wanted to have a Christ-centered life, a Christ-centered home, a Christ-centered family, and by the grace of God, that's what I got.
Amen. Now, was it hard growing up in Hollywood? I mean, a lot of people don't know the scene and everything, just to try and keep yourself, you know, in your godly principles?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was for me. It was for me for a while. But luckily, I had that foundation as a child to, I knew the truth. And that's what makes it all the more, I don't want to say disappointing, but, I knew the truth, and yet I was living just a really terrible life, out there really being among the Hollywood crowd, and I found out real quick, this is no place for me, and when I got the chance, we uprooted, we moved to Texas, all my kids are, here. I've got a daughter going off to college, but they're all, on their own accord have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so it's all kind of gravy from here on out for us.
Hey, man, tell us about your entertainment company, Second Fiddle Entertainment.
Second Fiddle, it's such a blessing, because just growing up being the son of Chuck, it was a natural thing. It was what I was exposed to as a child. My dad didn't really start acting until I was a teenager. He was a karate instructor. So it was when he started making films, you kind of gravitate to what you're exposed to. And I saw him making these films, and I got to work on some films. And it was really, it was great. It was very enjoyable. And it gave me opportunities to do films on my own. Now, in the late 80s, early 90s, I've done a whole slew of really bad action movies. But I knew when I was directing Walker, Texas Ranger, I knew when this is over, all I wanted to do were make films that glorify Jesus. It was really, and it was before The Passion of the Christ had come out. I just knew I wanted to make films, and by the grace of God, there's a market for it now. People are starting to watch these films, and but as far as Second Fiddle, it's... We were at a camp. We go to this camp every year called Pine Cove. It's a great Christian camp that every summer our whole family goes to, and it's just a great time to be together as a family, get away from everything. And one of the speakers about 8 years ago, he was talking, and it was actually a quote from Leonard Bernstein, and he said, "It's easy to find somebody to play lead violin, but to find somebody to play second fiddle, to play it with enthusiasm, that's the hard part. But without that, you have no harmony." And I was thinking, wow, that's very profound. And I took that into how we do our films now. All I do is, I'm just here on earth trying to, put the pieces together, everything I can do. But these are God's movies. These are blessed by God. These are totally God-driven. On a daily basis, we come together in prayer to pray for the day, pray for everybody, and just let this be something that could get out there and maybe touch somebody's lives and lead them to Christ.
Amen. Now, you've done acting and directing. Which have you done more of, and which do you prefer?
Well, like I said, I've done a lot of acting in some really bad bad movies back in the late 80s and 90s. I got into directing on Walker, Texas Ranger, really. I was directing all the action stuff, and then I got the opportunity to direct the show. And I really enjoy that process of it, the directing. So I really enjoy directing more than anything, because it just, I believe for me, I see God really manifest himself in such a tangible way when I really submit to his will on a set and see how he makes things supernaturally happen that I had no idea could. And that's what I enjoy most.
Hey, man. Well, I can tell. I've seen a lot of the stuff that you're putting down, especially this one. I can tell there's quite a talent for this one, because, I've seen a lot of Christian films, and I'm not knocking any of the guys that have been on my show at all, but this one had that film look. from the beginning to the end, it just had that film look. And you know, and I can tell it's your eye. You know what you're doing. You've been in the industry, and a lot of people are putting movies out there, but this one definitely is. It just the way it shot, the production, everything, the storyline. It just had that film feel.
Well, I appreciate that, and I've done, I'm a filmmaker. First and foremost, I'm a Christian, but I happen to be, blessed to have, 30 years of film knowledge. So, maybe that's what kind of gives us a little step up to kind of bring some production value. It's the details, in these films that really matter. Obviously, first and foremost, we want to spread the gospel. But, the audience is getting more sophisticated now. They go see a big Hollywood movie, and then they come and see a quote-unquote Christian movie. And they're like, well, the quality is not there, the acting's no good, but we love the story. Well, what we'd like to do is we'd like there to be good acting, the production value, shot well, and also the message and the good story. So we're trying to bring all that together. And I think as a whole, there's a lot of new, young filmmakers out there that are really going to really be impactful in this market.
Oh, absolutely. People don't realize the struggle or the challenge, which is to just probably use that word, of Christian filmmaking. Because when you got a Hollywood behind you and they're back in the film where you can get an A-list or B-list actor and get the top-notch director or producer for something. And so there's a challenge. Can you tell us about the challenges?
Well, I think the biggest challenges I found is in distribution. I think Dean Cain and John Schneider, the good names, they're recognized
names. Oh, absolutely.
We sent them the script first and said, here's the script. They both loved the script, and we, put out an offer to them. It was substantially less than what they would normally get for a film, but they liked the project, and so we did it. There are challenges, but I try to turn those challenges into opportunities, and we're just making movies.
Amen. Now, how's the industry changed for the Christian market?
The industry is changing so rapidly. With technology, I'm trying to keep up with it. I'm of the old generation where, we were shooting on film and, it was crazy. But now, we've got all this digital stuff.
Yeah.
And I think the way people are watching these films are changing because, I don't know how much longer the DVD is going to be around.
It's all kind of
turning to, just click and download and you could see a movie. So I don't know how it's changing and where it's going to. I just want to continue to try to really make the best product possible and pray that, people see it and it resonates with them.
Amen, amen. Yeah, DVDs may not be around long, and that's pretty much the life source for Hollywood is selling DVDs. So
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so.
But people will continue to watch movies. It's just how it's presented. That's, the big question. And I don't have the answer to that. So I'll just continue to make films and see where they go.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's talk about I Am Gabriel. Let's talk about this this one that was presented to you. Tell us how you got involved with it.
This was the craziest story, and it is an absolute gut thing because a friend of mine called me and said, "Hey, can you meet for lunch? I've got a friend who's got cancer, and just kind of like to lift him up." And I'm going, "I'd love to, but I've got a broken shower, and I've got to fix it." And kind of how things work with me is if I got something that's broken, I want to try to fix it. I go to Home Depot, buy something, come home, break it a little more, go back to Home Depot, you know, if it ends up me tearing it apart and then calling the plumber. I go to Home Depot, I buy something, and I come back and I fix it in 5 minutes. I'm like, wow, this, wow. So I called my buddy Ray and I said, hey, I'll meet you for lunch. And I drove up to this little town, Justin, Texas, about 15 minutes away from me. Sit down, eat lunch. We have a great lunch, and I go to pay for the bill. And there's a woman behind the counter. She just looked like she needed, you know what, I just, it was on my heart. Do something to bless her day. What can you do to bless her day? And I just happened to have a copy of the last film we did, Maggie's Passage, in my car. And I go, you know what, I'll give her a movie. So I paid my bill, went out to my car, and I said, can I give you something? She goes, what? And I go, well, I want to give you a movie. She looked at it, looked up at me, looked back down at the film, and she goes, we've been praying for 2 years that somebody would walk into this restaurant and make a movie for us. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I've heard all kinds of crazy stories before. But sure enough, they did want to make a movie. They had a group of investors behind them, and we went out and made their film.
Wow.
Yeah. So they had a story. They had the idea for a story, and I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll write the script. If you like the script, we'll do it. If you don't, you can have the script. And, you know, it was just kind of really a God thing. I got to, you know, I just started typing, and really the Holy Spirit just kind of came over me and wrote this, because I wrote the script in 12 days.
Wow.
Which is faster than I've ever written a screenplay before.
That is good.
And, yeah. And, yeah, we got it done.
Amen. Now, how many Christian movies have you put together?
This was our fourth one, and we're getting ready to start number 5 in November.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So what does your dad say about all this, making Christian films?
Oh, he loves it. He loved Diane Gabriel. He thought it was the best one we've done. No, he's real proud. He's real happy that that's the path I decided to take, and we're sticking to it through thick and thin. I know God will provide. I know God will bless us, and it's really, I mean, really, that's it. We're totally, utterly dependent on God, and it's a great place to be.
Amen. You know, that's one thing that I tell everybody. I do missions. I preach healing services and all over the country. And I tell her, if you stay committed through thick and thin, God blesses obedience and faithfulness. So you stay with it, and God will make it successful as you just commit to what you're doing.
Absolutely, and that's kind of one of the ideas we're working on is a film called The Commitment.
Okay.
About a young man that commits to his wife, and through thick and thin, when he committed to God, he committed to everything. So, you know, commitment, it's not always easy. I mean, it's not always easy, and God puts us in uncomfortable places, I believe, to, you know, test our resolve and to make sure that we are 100% committed to Him, because we weren't put here for, you know, we were put here on earth to glorify God. I mean, that's the only reason we're put here.
Absolutely. You know, the parable that Jesus shares, it tells us about the no man puts his hand to the plow and looketh back as worthy of the kingdom of God. That whole thing means, you know, you're going to start working. Well, stay committed. Don't start looking where you used to be or where you want to be. Just start going and doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and every time I kind of go outside that lane just a little bit, boy, it's put right back into, you know, God puts me right back into the middle. Here's your road, boy. Stay on this.
Amen. So how was it working with John Snyder and Dean Cain?
Yeah, great guys. John Snyder, I mean, these two together have done so much, and Dean Cain, just an amazing man, and he came in and he worked. We filmed a movie this time last year. We were just wrapping up, and it was the hottest summer we'd had in Texas in years. And
yeah.
It was brutal.
Hey, I'm in Houston, so I understand.
yeah. But you know what? They came, they worked, they were a joy. And the whole process was absolutely phenomenal. It was just absolutely phenomenal. And I couldn't be more happy with them. And they did a great job.
Well, those two are definitely pros. And they love their craft. They're really good at it. And they seem very good-hearted as well. So
absolutely, yeah.
And so how long did it take? How long was the shoot?
We shot for 3 weeks. And what I like to do is I like to double prep because it's cheaper than, you know, extra shooting. So we get it down to where we prep for about 7 weeks beforehand. So when we go into filming, we are ready for anything. We have plan B, plan C, ready to go. And I did that because, you know, this wasn't my money. Usually we fund the films. On this one, it wasn't my money. So I had to be a double good steward of the funds.
Yeah,
and,
that's a good point there, Mike.
it really is true. And they were not, these people were not in the film industry. And, you know, they thought it was going to cost three times what we actually spent on the film. And I'm like, nah, you know what? It'd be nice, but I gotta, you know, this is the reality. This is where we gotta stay within this number, so you guys can end up making money on it. And we did that, and we did that. And it was just, we prepped for 7 weeks, we shot for 3 weeks, and we finished at the middle of September, and I delivered the master about Christmas time, so. And now it comes out.
Amen. So this one's out there. Was your investors, were they surprised on how much the print and advertisement was going to cost to get this out there?
they were aware of it. I told them all the hard facts beforehand. But the film's done really well. We were the top-selling Christian film. We got 5 out of 5 Doves. It was the highest rated Dove film. So, you know, that's all good, but it's the biggest thing was, you know, they wanted a message about prayer out there.
Amen.
And I think that's what we got them.
Yep, you got it. And it was wonderful. Now, how can they get this DVD now?
The DVD is in all Christian bookstores, and I hear it is now kind of making its way into Walmart. I know it's at Fry's, Hastings, just pretty much anywhere DVDs are sold, you can find I Am Gabriel. And I really encourage people to see it. It really was a great film, and I'm really proud of it. And you'll see, and I think it shows in the film.
Amen. Well, you know, Mike, if I don't ask you this, my kids are going to get on to me. They want to know if you learned karate with your pop.
Absolutely. It was my first, up until I was 13 years old, like at night, every week, and we'd pack in the station wagon and go do demonstrations and shopping malls, high schools, grade schools, car dealerships. We, it was him and I. We were out there trying to plug the karate schools. I mean, he was a karate teacher.
Wow.
And so, yeah, absolutely. I'm born and raised in martial arts.
What belt did you finish up at?
I got to my red belt. I was right before a black belt. But you know what? I started playing football and baseball, and But I never stopped karate, when I was 18, 19, I used to go to my dad's house every morning. We'd work out for hours.
Wow.
You'd be amazed at who was over there working out. We'd Jean-Claude Van Damme, Richard Norton, I mean, all kinds of great martial artists were coming over every morning to work out with us.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. So how about your kids? Were they involved in any of the karate?
No, my oldest daughter, Hannah, she did karate for years, but then she got into soccer and softball, and now she's very involved in going on missions trips to India. And so she, you know, it's just where she was doing her karate, it was like, you have to do karate and nothing else. And she's like, oh, well, that's not how it's going to work for me. And my other two, my daughter Greta, who actually played in Iron Gable, played the little blind girl in Iron Gable.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think she's got a lot of talent. I may have to ride that one for a while.
Amen.
And my son Max, he just plays football and loves the Lord. That's him. Amen. Great heart. And so it's all good. My kids are amazing.
Great. Any advice you'd like to give to those aspiring filmmakers out there?
Man, just do it. Just find a way to do it. You know, I've been blessed that I kind of had a leg up being the son of Chuck Norris. I mean, there's no two ways around it, and I will never deny that. I do have a leg up on that. But for somebody that doesn't, just figure out a way to write yourself a script. Put some pennies together and just go film it, whether it's a short, whatever it is. But just do it in a godly way. God will provide. I mean, God will make it happen. Just be prayerful about it and make it happen. I mean, I still have to do that. I mean, you know, now that, you know, my dad did do the Expendables, but he's kind of out of the film industry. Yeah, I'm having to, you know, I can't write that one too long. But just do it. Whatever it is, if it's a minute long, just do it.
Amen, amen. That is.
You can do it on an iPhone now.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
Amen, that is great advice.
Just keep going. Just keep it in prayer and just do it.
Amen. I love your faith, my brother. If I'm up in the Dallas area, I'd love to visit with you and have lunch with you.
You got it. Absolutely. It'd be an absolute pleasure. Please do. And you've got my number, right?
Yes, sir. I got it.
Okay, cool.
Okay, hey,
let's go. I'm off to now Echo Light Studios, who's distributing the film, to go talk about the next project.
Absolutely. Is there any website information you want to give to everybody?
I'd like them to look at Second Fiddle Entertainment. It's 2ND Fiddle Entertainment. That's our website. Kind of see what's going on with us. And also Echo Light Studios, our distributor. Check them out. They got a lot of great films coming out this year. And yeah, that's about it.
Amen. All right, my brother, thank you for taking the time to be with us. Anytime you need to promote another film or anything, just give us a holler. We'll get you on the air.
You got it. I appreciate it. And God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right,
bye-bye.
Amen. And that was Mr. Mike Norris. And that was a beautiful interview. It is good to talk to someone that has come from a background of just having a very famous father in the industry, and he's making his own way. You know, he's making his own way, and he's just trusting God to do it. Yeah, he got the extra knowledge and wisdom, but hey, would any of us deny to get that? Amen. You know, God prepared him for this, and it's good that his dad, Chuck, is all aboard and just supportive and let him just enjoy what he's doing. But you know what? God's going to use this man in great ways. I've seen this, and it is an amazing movie. You'll love the storyline, but just the production, on the production values itself, it's just great, and it's a good push forward for the Christian industry, and I know there's been a lot of them this last year, and hey, God wants to get his word out on film. He does, and he's using people of any caliber, from just starting off to being in the industry for 30 years to do what he wants to do. God's message will not be denied when he wants to put it out there. If he can use anyone, from the greatest to the ones just starting. So you just trust God, let him do it. We'll be right back. We're going to have Freddie Washington in just a few minutes, and I know we went a little bit long, but hey, we had a great guest. All right, God bless. We'll be right back.
Preachers out there who encircle yourselves with sparks, please get involved in the culture war. Join the Tea Party. Get out of your cave and join forces with the brave. Speak from your pulpits like Bonhoeffer before it's too late. If Christians voted right, we could turn this nation on a dime. Are you afraid you'll lose members? Are you afraid you'll lose your job? Are you afraid Big Brother will take away your tax-exempt status? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Can you name one man of God in Scripture that did not stand up and speak to rulers? The Bible's nothing but government and law. The theme of evil statism runs through Scripture from the Tower of Babel to the Beast of Revelation. To say we have no king but Caesar is to bow to statism. Are you speaking out against it? Are you willing to pay the price? Walk in the light of the sparks you have kindled. Isaiah 50, verse 11, 585-4402. Call me.
Hi, I'm Peter Stanway from The Way Christian Ministries. Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. However, the Bible says a lot more than that. It was on the cross at Calvary that Jesus was glorified. Wait a minute, you may say, but it's true. In the midst of all the blood and anguish in the drama of the fiercest battle ever, Jesus was glorified. Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. The rock was cleft for us. Every Christian believer has their identity in Christ. We have been placed into Him, into His wounds that He bore on the cross for us. We have been sealed into Christ by God, and our lives are now hidden with Christ. Christ Jesus, who has triumphed over sin and death, is now seated at the right hand of God, and we are there with Him. Thank you, Jesus. We have been placed into the rock of our salvation. Amen.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
Tony Dungy, in his book Playbook for the Uncommon Life, writes, courage can be demonstrated by standing up to the school bully or intervening to prevent someone you don't know from being hurt. But more often, it's the day-to-day moments of reaching inside yourself to find the courage to stand alone that can be the toughest. For me, it means living out the life of Christ on a daily basis as I coach. God gives you convictions for a reason, and therefore stand on your convictions. It is the path to living an uncommon life. Just something to think about now. I'd like to hear your personal comments on Tony's definition of courage. And just go to Facebook, add Second Look at Sports, and tell me what you think. This is Dwight Allen, your sports chaplain of the air.
Modern psychology would say, make Junior feel better about himself and his behavior will improve. His rebellion and acting out comes from his poor self-image. But how does this line up with the biblical principle to think of ourselves with sober judgment? Do I really want a juvenile delinquent feeling good about being a juvenile delinquent? Hi, I'm Trey Sembry with Shepherd's Hill Farm, bringing it back to Scripture. Kids feel better about themselves when they exercise self-restraint, because self-restraint is, in itself, an accomplishment. Kids and adults alike feel better about themselves when they accomplish things, especially noble things. Not understanding the spiritual aspect of humans, pop psychology would call this repression. Scripture calls it self-control. Without healthy parental authority to jumpstart a child's self-control by demanding it, a child left to himself disgraces himself and his parents.
At Shepherd's Hill Farm, troubled teens learn that responsibilities and obligations are to be exercised before rights and privileges can be enjoyed. Visit Shepherd's Hill Farm online at shfteens.org.
Economically, spiritually, and morally, America is in a state of emergency. But you can make a difference because prayer changes things. 2 Chronicles 7:14 states, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then God will heal the land. Join us this September on the 28th and 29th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for a solemn assembly at Independence Mall and let your voice be heard at the place where America was born. Stand up for righteousness as multitudes gather to turn to our only...
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily, 24/7, on your online connection.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you are listening to Midwatch with the Rev. We are excited. We had a great first segment with Mike Norris, Chuck Norris's son. I guess he said that he was used to being called that, so I guess I can keep calling him that. And we're following it up this second segment with a recording artist, Mr. Freddie Washington. Say hi to everybody, Freddie.
How's it going, everybody? Freddie Washington here. Glad to be with you, David.
Amen. We're excited to have you here, and you've written a new album and recorded it and everything called the Jesus Record.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. And we're going to get into that, but let's talk about who you are, Freddie, and just tell us a bit about your testimony as well.
Okay. Well, yeah, I grew up actually in South New Jersey in a little town called Penns Grove, New Jersey. Nobody ever really knows where that is. It's near Philadelphia, so I usually just say a little town near Philadelphia. But I came up, I was a pastor's kid, in church every Sunday, you know, when I wanted to be there, when I didn't want to be there. And, you know, I at one point just started kind of playing music, and that kind of drew me in a little bit more. But, you know, it wasn't until I was a teenager that the gospel really penetrated my heart. And, you know, it was interesting because I grew up kind of with this idea that, you know, to be quite honest, I kind of just thought that I was hell-bound. You know, I was going to hell because I saw the people around me, and they, you know, seemed very perfect. And I just didn't really feel like I was capable of that, you know, that I could do that. And it wasn't till I really kind of got a good grasp on what the gospel really meant that I understood that, you know, it wasn't something I could earn, you know, but it was something that Jesus had already paid for me. So, you know, that was just kind of my experience growing up, a very musical family. My father is a pretty well-known gospel pianist and songwriter, and so I kind of grew up watching him, and, you know, I got more involved with music, and, you know, the Lord just kind of used the music to really just draw me closer to him, and, you know, so now, thankfully, you know, it's the other way around. I'm doing music just out of my love for God and out of my love for what he's done for me.
Amen. And you, when you were earlier starting this, I mean, like any of us, I mean, I'm a PK as well, and so I understand the hang-ups with it as well. But how were you in your youth? I mean, were you getting involved in the wrong crowds? Were you being a rebel, or what was going on?
No, that's the thing. You know, I mean, I was a pretty good kid, I guess. You know, you could say. I mean, I didn't really get involved with, you know, I was never suspended from school, I didn't get in any fights, you know, I it's pretty normal, but, you know, inside, though, I was spiritually dead, and I knew it, you know, that was the thing. It wasn't like anybody could see that on the outside, you know, and any of the people in my church, they never knew it, you know, they thought, oh, well, you know, he's been saved his whole life, and quite the contrary, you know, I actually was pretty aware of my spiritual bankruptcy, you know, and so it, you know, to me, it was just, that was the beautiful part about the gospel too, you know, is that, you know, if being a good kid or being moral was enough, then I would have been okay, but, you know, it isn't enough, and thankfully, I finally got the thing that is, and that's salvation, you know, in our Lord.
Amen. Amen. So it was a natural thing to go into the music and into the preaching, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, did you learn a lot of music growing up?
Yeah, you know, watching my dad. You know, my dad played every Sunday in our church. He was playing, and I started out on drums. So he would be on the organ, and I would be backing him up on the drums, you know. And eventually, you know, I started wanting to do exactly what he was doing, so I kind of developed a love for playing piano and the organ, and so I got into that, and, you know, and then I kind of took things over probably closer to my 20s. I started to take more responsibility on in the music department, and I'm still there now. I'm actually the worship pastor at our church, and still kind of, you know, really instrumental in all of the music and the worship there.
Amen. And you're an in-demand preacher as well, correct?
Yeah, I've been doing quite a bit of preaching. You know, God's been opening doors for me to share the gospel, and it's been, you know, it's been a real joy for me. You know, I love music, but I think that's one thing that I really just have a passion for, and that's just, you know, sharing the good news, you know?
Amen.
So,
amen.
You know, I've been blessed to have you know, doors open where I could do just that, and it's really been a joy.
Amen. And you hold music clinics as well?
Yes. Yes, sir. You know, there's, well, we kind of call them workshops, but we would do, ever since I was a teenager, actually, I was watching my dad do the same thing, do workshops, and he would do them in Europe and in different countries, and so I kind of came up kind of learning from him, and then eventually I was able to do them with him, and so now I've just been traveling quite a bit, doing clinics and workshops, and kind of strengthening church departments and their music ministries, and that's been a really fun time.
And and God will use that to open more doors for you as your blessing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's been a blessing. I just love helping the local church. It's just what I really have a passion for too. Anytime I get to go to churches and just minister and do workshops and clinics and things, it's a real pleasure.
Amen. Well, tell us about the Jesus record. What was your inspiration for this, and what kind of songs are on
the
album?
Okay, well, it's interesting because this was just a record that I kind of always wanted to make, and it was just a collection of songs that I had written over the years. And, really they were just songs that kind of came out of a desire for me to set to music, some of the themes that I feel were really strong just in my studies of the gospel and my studies of scripture. And, the style is particularly eclectic musically. And I think that comes from just having been exposed to so much music, so many different styles and genres. I grew up listening to a lot of 80s pop and 90s, early 90s pop, and a lot of 80s gospel, and then a lot of Christian contemporary music and country music. I went through a real country phase. I learned a lot of different styles. And so on this record, I'm an independent artist, so that gave me the opportunity to really make the music the way I wanted to make it, do what I wanted to do and, what I really felt like the Lord had given me musically. So, it's not in one direction, it's just a really eclectic blend, but I think it works well, and prayerfully other people will think so as well.
now tell us about the song we're about to play. We Are the City.
Yeah, We Are the City. So that song is actually birthed out of the passage where the Lord Jesus is talking about us not just being the salt of the earth, but also being like the city that's sitting on the hill. I think a lot of times we feel like if we're not preachers or if we're not musicians or singers or what have you, that some of the things that we do don't really have a major contribution to, just to the church and to the kingdom of God. But the truth is, light is light because it shines. And if you're a Christian, your light is shining. And it's often shining in ways that you know and in ways that you don't know, or ways that you may never know until you get to glory. But rest assured, if you're a Christian, your light is shining and somebody's seeing it and someone's being impacted by it. So that's kind of the heartbeat of the song.
Amen. We all enjoy it. We're going to play a couple of minutes of it and we'll be right back.
We are the city, sitting on the hill. We are a light in the darkest land. So many people, so little time. Come on, children, let your light so shine. So come on. Shine, shine your light. Shine, shine your light. Shine, shine your light in a dark world now. Shine, shine your light. Come on, let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Come on, let your light shine. Jesus, shine in you. We are the city, hey. Sitting on that hill, way up high for the whole world to see. Yeah. And we're living to love, yes. And we're loving them in to these big city gates where they can be whole again, and a bright new chapter in life can begin. for them. So come on, shine, shine, shine your light, shine, shine your light, shine, shine your light in a dark world now. Shine, shine your light, come on, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Amen and amen. That was a beautiful, beautiful song there that we're working and getting it on the air for you. We are the city.
Yeah.
We have,
yes, sir. Thank you.
We have Mr. Freddie Washington who lives in a very small city.
Yeah.
His it's so small that his uncle is the mayor.
yes, he is. It couldn't be small. It's literally 1 mile square.
Oh, my goodness. It's like... I've seen Walmart's bigger than that.
Exactly. No, trust me. Everybody knows everybody. You can stand on the street corner and wave literally all day.
Oh, wow. Are you serious? That's crazy. Wow. And, you know, we're talking over the break here, and while you're listening to that beautiful song, and he needs to tell you something. He was nominated for a Grammy and Stellar and Dove Award. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's actually kind of a funny story. So there's an artist up in our area named The Truth, and he's a Christian hip-hop artist. And, you know, he gave me a call, and he wanted to do something different. Now, calling me was definitely that, doing something different, because I had never done Christian hip-hop or any hip-hop of any kind ever. So, you know, he wanted to take a different direction and go more of a pop direction, and so worked on that record, and... you know, we finished it, and it, you know, it did pretty well. And then, out of the blue, out of nowhere, it was nominated for a Grammy, and it was just—I mean, it was an amazing, amazing surprise. And I was thankful. You know, but it couldn't have caught me more off guard.
you got instantly named there. I mean, it's like,
yeah, literally.
I mean, people don't realize the value in that. Any type of credit from any type of industry, in whether it's film and your name's on the back of a movie or the front of a movie, and or if it's the radio and music and Grammy. I mean, you can't get any higher. Hello.
it really certainly just showed me, you know, just how unexpected the Lord can bless you. You know, I had no way of knowing that.
Amen. It was like God
couldn't have predicted it.
Amen. It was like God was saying, "Okay, we don't need you to learn to go on the slow train. We need the express train here."
You know, that's so the truth.
We got to get you going. He goes, "I know you got the talent. Don't worry about it. We're going to get you going quick."
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely feel like that.
And for some of us, that happens like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And God, it's God's, you know, it's whomever he lays his favor on, he will lay it on.
Yeah.
And we can't stop him. You know, we can't gain it by just asking and asking. God puts favor upon whom he puts favor.
Yeah, let me tell you, I honestly was thankful for it even coming that way. Because, you know, I had in my mind the way I would want to get a Grammy or the way I would want to get an award like that. But, you know, he had a whole nother plan, and it really just showed me something, you know. It taught me of just how little of us is involved in a lot of it, you know. It's just him, you know, rewarding us for our faithfulness, and he'll do it however he sees fit.
Amen, amen. And you know what, I guarantee it made you more humble, didn't it?
Oh, most certainly it did, immediately. You know, because I'm working in a genre that I really know little about, you know, and you know, and I'm not really even certain of, you know, just the level of the production that I did. I just knew that I gave it my all, and you know, and then for that to come was just an absolute complete shocker and a real surprise, and you know, it's just, I was very thankful and still am.
Now, did that open a few more doors for you?
It did, you know, and I got another call to work on a artist named Melinda Watts, and she won the, there's a gospel dream competition that was happening around that time on the Gospel Music Channel, and so I was able to do that record, and the Lord blessed me to have the single that they promoted from that record, and so, you know, it definitely, you know, opened doors, and it's continuing to, you know, just kind of open doors, and, you know, I'm very thankful and ultimately humbled by it.
Amen, amen. Well, Freddie's a good-looking man here. I see him on the promos they sent me. I had to ask him, how old are you? Because it looks like you look really good.
I'm trying to figure out how much I'm supposed to pay you to say that.
Oh, I was like, did they Photoshop you? Because it looks good. But, you know, that's good. I mean, this young man, his heart is so good. And I can tell you, just talking to him, he just wants to serve. You just want to serve, don't you? I mean, we're talking about the workshops and how you can be a blessing and doing that kind of stuff. And you can just hear it in your voice, my brother, that you're a man that just wants to do what God wants you to do.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's no greater joy, you know, than following him and being obedient to him and watching him, you know, work things out the way he sees fit to do it.
Amen.
So I'm just grateful that I can do it.
Amen. Now, tell us what's coming up in your ministry right now.
Okay, well, I'm actually releasing the full project, the Jesus record, on October the 2nd. It's a digital release. It'll be to iTunes and Amazon. So I'm very, very, very excited about that. I can't wait for everyone to, you know, to just listen to it, and, you know, hopefully they'll find a few tunes that they like, and we'll, you know, be able to enjoy the music. Also, you know, I'm just kind of doing some spot dates and kind of, you know, just singing and, you know, promoting some of the music so that people can be familiar with it, and, you know, hopefully they'll be able to pass it on. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, the gospel was just very clearly preached in this record, because, you know, you just never know where music goes, you know, especially in our culture. It just can go so far now, you know, and so I wanted to just make sure that, you know, when anybody got a handle on any of the music, you know, any of the songs, that you know, the gospel is being preached, you know. So yeah, but that's, you know, that's the long and the short of it. You know, the record's coming out, and we're going out and singing and doing a bit more preaching, and you know, just trying to spread this good news.
Well, God's going to keep using you and being a blessing. To give everybody your website information.
Yes, sir. So you can go to my website, which is www.freddywashington.com. It's Freddy, F-R-E-D-D-Y, Washington.com.
Amen. And you got any Facebook or?
I do. I'm all on Facebook. You can go to Facebook, Freddy Washington Jr. Don't go to Senior, because that's my father. He is a Facebook expert.
Oh, my goodness.
So trust me, you will definitely find him before you find me.
Oh, wow.
But I'm on there, too. And I'm also on Twitter, and my Twitter name is @FredWah, so it's @FredWah.
Wow, that's amazing, my brother. Would you give a prayer to everyone that's out there and give them encouragement for those that want to do what you're doing? Give them just a little bit of prayer or advice, whatever you feel in your heart, my brother.
Absolutely. Well, you know, any advice, you know, we can just certainly pray this, but any advice that I would give anybody who's just trying to travel this road, I would say really just stay prayerful, you know, because it's our connection and our relationship with God that helps us to make all of the decisions that are really, really very difficult decisions when you get into this element of ministry. But, you know, it's a prayerful attitude that will just always keep you grounded and keep you humble and keep you making all the right choices and doing what the will of the Lord is for you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for everyone that's listening to this broadcast. We thank you for just your spirit and just your word that is just going through this music and that is touching hearts and going through this radio program and touching minds. And God, we ask even now, even everybody that's listening, Father, that you would just give them encouragement, you know, and let them know that they can continue, that they can do anything that you've called them to do, that they can't be defeated, they can't fall by the wayside as long as they stay connected to you and as long as they keep a prayerful attitude. God, I thank you for every servant that you have all over this country that's still spreading the gospel and spreading your good news. And God, I ask even now that you would even strengthen them, Father, as we take this country for your name, and we'll give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. And that is some good advice. You know, one thing that I can add is as you have a prayerful attitude, God's going to open up those dreams for you.
Definitely. That's definitely true.
And Freddie can tell you, just like I can tell you, the doors that God opens are amazing, and you could have never opened them.
It's so true.
The people that God's brought me into this last year, it's just God's hand. When I'm faithful doing what he's doing, he's faithfully working for me. When I'm just faithful doing what he told me to do.
That's so right.
Amen.
That's so right.
Amen. My brother, well, hang on the line. I'm going to go ahead and close out the show, and I'll be back with you, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
Amen. That was Mr. Freddie Washington. You can get his CD, The Jesus Record, on iTunes, and also go to his website, freddiewashington.com. Get more information on more upcoming releases and keep up with this young man, because he is an amazing, amazing young man in faith. And well, we had two great guests, and hey, we delivered today, my friends. You've got to have gotten encouraged in music, got encouraged in film, but most of all, got encouraged that God can do the impossible. When you just start with the possible, God will do the impossible for you. God bless you, my friends. We'll be back tomorrow with another great guest. We'll see you next time on The Midwatch.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.